Gina, you
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Plenty going on this week in Sam, Mike and Don, You Cannot Be Serious. And Mick and Don, it is an extraordinarily busy news week because we're going from football to climate to politics. I've already asked on the tweet machine if anyone has any questions. We've had hundreds of them come
okay.
in. And one of them was, don't speak about Trump. Could we make sure we...
Yes.
I never spoke about Trump. And you said it last week, and I said, righto, we won't speak about Trump. And the first thing you asked me is, can I speak about the man that you think is great? And you said it was Trump, and that's how it started.
No, I lifted the embargo, and it was a mistake.
Correct.
Yeah.
So first of all, Mick, I want to ask you, we'll get the AFL and all that out of the way. Incidentally, we've had just an interesting person has said he wants to know about... how relationships are going here. We might cover that later. And we
look forward to that.
Well, you wouldn't want to because it'll be about you. we want to know how everything's going.
How am I sounding?
No, you're not sounding well, and Don's not sounding well.
Is Don? Where is Don?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. Don's got cow flu. He has succumbed to the lurgy. He is not with us. Don, if you're listening, you won't be listening because
the Hawthorne tough man.
Hey?
The Hawthorne tough man.
Well, his voice physically wouldn't come into the microphone.
Right, unlike mine.
He is mute.
He's mute.
He is mute.
So he pulled out, did he?
Well, Mick, what is the point of having someone on an audio program if they can't speak?
Oh, well, it's a very interesting question you pose, Sam, because I watched the footy show a couple of weeks ago and you trotted out Rebecca Madden and she couldn't speak.
No, she couldn't. And did you notice she wasn't on the show except for the bit that she mimed with her and I, the parody of Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga? Incidentally, I'm glad you brought that up.
Thank you.
Is it amazing how we actually won the ratings, beat the great show of The Front Bar?
You weren't on against them, were you?
Yeah, we were. Well,
night?
No, we weren't on the same night.
You didn't beat them then.
Of course we did. More people watched our show than watched their show. That's beating them in the ratings. And I'm just saying they're fantastic and they've been great. Wouldn't it be good if the Herald Sun, who now don't give us any favours because they're aligned, we are Channel 9 aligned with a different news organisation.
Fairfax,
like the Fairfax. So the Herald Sun give us nothing.
What did you rate?
Because we're no use to them.
What did you rate that night?
What do you mean, what did it rate?
With numbers, what did you do?
Well, it rated more.
Well, you should know. You said if it bashed the front bar, you should have a figure.
I didn't say it bashed the front bar. I did not. No, don't. I didn't say it bashed the front bar. I said we had higher ratings than them.
Okay.
And I think 780,000 watched it around the
country.
The country, and a lot of people watched them as well. We beat them in, and we went for an extra hour and a half than them on extra hour and a half, and we still had more people watch us.
Wow.
We've brought the ratings up on the Google machine, but I'm not going to try and decipher it. But I'm not saying that. I'm just saying they were delighted about it, but no one actually gives
any credit.
So
shall be back next year?
Hmm?
Footy show back next year?
I wouldn't think so. The grand final footy show might be on the strength of that.
It wasn't a bad show. As a layman, just watching.
Well, good on you, Mick. No good asking us because we're on it.
Yes. Okay.
So
Don's not here because he's unwell.
He is unwell. He's unwell. He can't speak. He hasn't got a voice. It's pointless having him on.
So how do you know he's sick then if he couldn't speak?
Because he texted me. He texted me, Mick.
I've got it, thank you.
Yeah, so yeah,
it's just an attempt at humour.
I know, and I was sharp to think because Don can't text; his fingers are too fat. while we're on football, we'll get it out of the way.
Shouldn't we talk about the rugby league first? Well, it was the biggest event in Australia at the weekend.
I said, while we're on football, Mick.
And is that football?
Rugby league?
Yeah.
I think they call that football.
Yep. Really? Okay.
It's just as much football as our game. They kick it every now and again like we do.
Do you think it's much of a game? I mean,
fantastic.
I know you like it. And I do. I watched it. I watched most of it the other night. Blokes of 140 kilos surging downfield with a ball under their arm and crashing into a pack of eight people. There's not much finesse in this game, is there?
I tell you what, Mick. There is a lot of finesse in it.
Is
they
there?
Are very good athletes. They can run like the wind. They're tough as all get out. And there is a lot of skill in working out where and when to pass the ball and when to hang on to it. I know it's not as sophisticated as our game, but they are very good athletes and I enjoy watching it immensely. And that was a great game.
Was it really? Three tries? Was there three tries?
Yes.
Three tries in 80 minutes.
Ever watched any great... Ever watched Real Madrid and Barcelona play soccer for an hour and a half?
Yeah, true. And I'm coming from a weak base given the grand final that we put on the previous week.
Well...
But I did say that the last try was a brilliant piece of athleticism, you know, with
and should never have been.
Because of the referee's error.
The referee said, waved on the Raiders to have six more tackles,
yep.
And the bunker reversed the decision after everyone had stopped.
Yep.
And they got deflated, the Raiders, because they thought, what's going on? And a decision from the bunker up in the crowd, up in the stands, was made, and they whipped the ball up the other end, and the rest is history.
So if you and Don were here in concert, you would, and that applied in the AFL, you would say it was a conspiracy?
I would say...
Was it just an error?
I would say it is overreaction to meddling from a game. The referee on the spot had waved on six more tackles and the bunker said, no, that's incorrect. Wasn't a scoring decision. It was just a... It's like saying... The bunker saying, someone took a mark in the AFL and the bunker comes down, they review it and they say, oh, no, I think the bloke touched it first. I mean, seriously... It's not.
It happened quickly. Is the bunker make a decision that quickly?
They came through the referee's earphones or his earpiece and said, no, that's not right. And
wow.
But the other mob had stopped and it was a fait accompli in the end. So that would have been described by Andrew Johns had he been. Have you heard what's happened to
Andrew
Johns?
Where is Andrew Johns?
Andrew Johns decided he wouldn't like to work with a woman called... Erin someone.
Erin Molan.
Molan.
Yes.
So this is, I'm not making this up, this is well documented. And so he fell on his sword and he got to the door and the management said, come back in, you don't have to work with her, we will not make you work on the days she does. So all hell has broken loose.
Did you see them work together? I mean, was it combustible or not?
No, I didn't see them work together. I don't watch a lot of rugby league football shows, Mick. I don't watch any of ours, so why would I watch
true.
Any of theirs?
Yeah, okay.
So that has caused controversy, or some might say controversy. But we would say controversy. So that's the football.
Okay.
And it was a fantastic game.
Was it?
Well, I thought it was a fantastic game. If you want tough, honest, straight, no dippy-dappy nonsense.
Dippy-dappy.
Dippy-dappy. Our game's dippy-dappy.
Gee.
If you went along, if you were one of the 100,000 that saw the Greater West Sydney
slide
down from the northern climes and have a crack at playing some competitive football,
I agree with
you'd
that.
Say it's dippy-dappy.
Yeah. Well, among other things, yeah.
And so, and then... Joe Danaher now is the news of the day down here. Why does the AFL draft go on for 2 weeks? Why does it go on for 2 weeks?
Because there's negotiation.
Oh, yeah.
And
what?
Posturing and, you know.
Posturing is spot on, Mick. Posturing. It's just an inflated way the AFL keep football at the forefront for a longer period than should be.
People love it. Now, I'm a bit with you. I can't understand this preoccupation with it. But the I wasn't going to call them punters. They're not punters. The supporters love it.
The rank and file, Mick.
They do, yeah.
Mm.
Because I think at this time of year,
yeah,
there's a hope that your team might improve sufficiently to play finals or win a flag.
Well, the Sydney Swans are hoping their team will sufficiently improve because they're wooing Joe Danaher.
Does he owe the Bombers anything?
That was my question to you, Mick, who are far more across how this should work than I am, because you have a room named after you at the AFL for services to journalism. Joe Danaher has probably been on best part of $1 million for so many years and has hardly played a game, and now, because he hasn't played a game, thought he'd like to have a climate change and move to Sydney. Is that overstating it?
No, well, in your simplistic language, I'll accept that. I think there's a case to be put that he has a debt to the Bombers.
Yes.
But there's this persistent rumour.
Yes.
Speculation. I can't substantiate it, nor do I know whether it's got any credit. Seems unlikely to me, but that the Danaher camp hasn't been happy with the way Joe's been looked after for the last couple of years.
Because they kept jabbing him with injections during the supplements regime, and they didn't like that.
Well, maybe that, but but more recently, his last 2 years have been ruined by a groin complaint, and it would seem to take 2 years is a long time to get a bloke's groin problems fixed, isn't it?
Maybe he should have had some injections jabbed into that. Have you ever had your groin injected? Maybe it'd be a good thing to do at this stage of your life, Mick.
Why would
I? It might give you a new lease of life. You might bounce out of the blocks and go bang with a merry stick, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I think I know what you mean. Yeah.
So you think that, like, he's been on reasonable money there to do very little so far at Essendon, hasn't he?
Well, he's played, I think, 11 games in the 2 years.
I think that's very little.
Yes, I agree with that.
And so did someone woo him from Sydney or...
Well, not according to Tom Harley, the CEO. They're just good buddies who they catch up occasionally and never talk about Joe going to Sydney.
And he just held over on a flight to Sydney and thought, gee, while I'm here, I might as well go and see me old mate Tom.
Yeah.
We'll have a coffee. And Tom said, what are you doing?
And we certainly won't talk about next year.
No, so that's bullshit, isn't it?
Well, it would seem to me...
No, it is. If Tom said we didn't discuss it prior or have never discussed it, that is nonsense. That's a white lie. Which was one of my questions I was going to ask you when we get into just how relationships start.
Oh,
is it all right to tell a white lie to someone every now and again?
Well, let's leave that for someone who's more expert in this arena.
And will we introduce who's...
Why don't we? Yeah.
Well, we have someone who's been sitting there quietly, hasn't taken the place of Don, but is just sitting there and has been a second-time guest, long-time listener, second-time... and
she's familiar. She looks familiar to me.
She should, Mick. I don't think she looks a hell of a lot like you, although I'd have
Thank
to check
God.
The dam. I'd have to check the dam out first.
Well, you know the dam.
I know, but I haven't seen her for a long time. Anyhow, you introduce her. Lizzie, go on.
Well, this is my daughter, Lizzie.
Yes.
Who is actually maybe perhaps educating a couple of us in...
lifestyles and relationships.
Yeah, well, I don't know about lifestyles and relationships, but...
Well, I think let's just cut to the chase.
Right.
Lizzie got onto someone on what's known as a catfish site.
Well, see, I need to explain. I know. What's a catfish, Lizzie?
I'll tell you what a catfish is. Catfish is when you woo people online and you don't know who they are, and they just they overstate who they are or what they are or what they look like or where they've come from. They exaggerate. They're hyperbolic liars. And Lizzie, I think, found out the hard way because she got onto someone who wooed her on the phone, and when she met him, he was a dwarf. Now, there's nothing wrong with being a dwarf. There is nothing wrong with being a dwarf.
You're a very perceptive young lady. How did you work that out?
Because when she sat down to have coffee with him, so because she's fair-minded, she thought, I will meet this man. His legs wouldn't touch the ground when he sat on the chair.
You've blown my story.
Go ahead.
So catfishing is someone who creates a false online identity.
Right.
It wasn't so much catfishing in the sense that we'd been chatting online and it was time to meet for a drink, which we did. It didn't come up.
Which part of it's not catfishing?
Well, he didn't say he was anything.
He didn't say he was 6 foot six,
But he also didn't tell me that he was 4 foot nothing.
He's a dwarf.
Yeah. So
should he have told you?
I think so.
Well, Mick, can I offer the same question to you? if someone said, look, I'm not quite Elle Macpherson, but I have very, very similar features, and you met this person and she was a feeder. She was a 600-kilogram woman because she had been fed crap.
I think I know her.
Who, me?
No, not you.
No. So would you say that that's unreasonable for her not to say that she was 60 stone?
Yeah, probably. Lizzie, how did you extricate yourself from that situation?
Well, it was an absolute doozy of a day when he said, do you want a drink? And I said, yes. And then he put his hand out for my money. I said, oh, I'll get these. Grabbed my bag, went up to the bar, said to the barman, I'm actually going to leave, but just pretend you're serving me. And he said, you look like you're in a world of pain. And I said, yep, sure. And so I pretended to order and went over to him and said, oh, I'm just going to the bathroom. And I particularly chose this venue because it has three entrances. Ran out the back entrance, ran down the laneway, kicked a fence because I was so pissed off.
Now, Liz,
and went home.
Do you think, you're a very forthright person who takes no truck from anyone. Wouldn't you think it would have been, did you ever consider going back to him saying, now listen, mate, I think it's not unreasonable. You have conned me big time here. Just tell me about yourself. I didn't portray my, I told you who I was. Why would, honestly, would you think I'd be interested in this relationship?
Well, it was just more like a meet and greet, which is what you always sort of graduate to that after talking online. And he could have sat there and thought, it's not an issue for me. Why would it be an issue for anybody else? And I never asked if he was vertically challenged.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So it's not an issue for him, but yeah. Wouldn't you think if he had a modicum of intelligence, he said, it might be an issue for this person I'm meeting.
Yep.
So maybe I'll say, now listen, I'm a little person. I'm not a regular person, but I'd still like to meet you. And I reckon Lizzie would say, well, thanks for being up front. I'll come and have a drink with you and we'll see how
we go.
No,
I wouldn't.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I would have said thanks for being up front. All the best.
Okay.
Yeah. How's your strike rate on the...
yeah, I was trying to be let you down gradually. No, bugger you. No, you're no good.
So I'm not here to make people feel better. Like, just...
You're not?
Not on online dating.
No. What's it, Liz? Is it a jungle or not? Don and I are looking at a double dating now that the footy's over.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you two need to come with a warning. So.
Well, could
we
I ask
come
you
with a warning. Yeah. What, so they were old.
We're old and
decrepit.
So if you met someone, Mick, just out of the blue and you'd arranged to meet them and they walked into the room, what was the first thing you'd look at? Their face, their body. Would you look them up and down? What happens if they've
got a holistic look? I would.
Holistic.
Yeah.
Would you? So it wouldn't matter what they look like physically.
Of course, so
yes, it would. That's the first thing everyone looks at. And if you look shit, move on.
Spot on. No, Mick.
Don't care about your personality.
That's right.
You
will find out what your personality is like after we've settled on you physically.
If you can put up with the appearance, yeah.
Mick, that holistic shit. I tell you what, I'd go to a higher level if I was you. Don't worry about the holistic
nonsense. Okay. It must be pretty nerve-wracking, Liz, is it?
Oh, it's just shit. It is a dogfight. Like, it's like going through a catalogue and people just going, I'll buy that. They flick to the next page. Oh, that's better. See you later. Like, you've got to have some real standout features to really succeed in online
dating.
Not
like in days gone by, Mick, when we used to go down the rubbity-dub and see a group of, well, in this case, women, because we were both heterosexuals at that stage, glance at them and say, oh, I'm going to go over and chat to that woman. And wherever you'd go...
Tell me, now, let's go back to when you were flourishing and thriving in your 20s. What would you, if you went over to a group of women, what would you have said to the one that took your fancy?
Right, I'll be in my car in a minute, come out. No, I wouldn't, no. No, but it's just a bit of playing the game, isn't it?
Okay, well, Lizzie, what would put you off? The bloke's first, when he opened his mouth for the first time and said whatever, what would put you off?
What do you mean by that?
Well, is there something that's...
Well, because it all starts online, you kind of get to browse first. And there's a few deal breakers from the very start. If people list their education and they write School of Hard Knocks, that's an instant deal breaker.
Yeah.
Probably anyone called Wayne. Earrings and chains.
Yeah.
So tattoos, just, not so much.
No, tattoos are fine. Yeah.
Just Wayne? Wayne's the only name that would put you off?
Jason.
Yeah.
Sam. Mike, Rod. Jacinta. Rod.
So the people who put these online, you can't never be assured that they're going to be accurate anyhow.
No, but you've got to do, you know, research. Your background work and your due diligence. You do a good amount of stalking.
It's different dating.
Well, it is, isn't it?
Yeah, they have photos.
So you see their photo and their bio, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you have to make it, and then you talk via the computer and agree to catch up.
Well, a lot of the time it doesn't get to catch up stage.
It's tough, isn't it?
So you've dispensed with actual personal contact in the first place, going out to venues or bars or restaurants?
Hello, I think everybody has.
Dispensed with that?
You wouldn't find one person, actually you'd probably find a few, but there are majority of people are online.
Is that right?
Even if you do go to a pub, and I tried it recently, you go to a pub and you think, I'll go old school and try and meet someone, you got to talk to them. They're on their phone swiping left or right anyway. Yeah. And you're kind of like, no, I should have just fucking sat on the couch.
Tiger.
I should have just sat on the couch, not put in any effort, eaten a pizza and decided that
way.
Very
good point, Lizzie. Yeah. I just can't imagine doing, I cannot imagine getting on a phone or an app and trying to set up a date with someone I've never met. I would have to go out and eyeball them and try my luck, just being Johnny on the spot, if you will.
But that's how you get a job. You look at Seek and you look at the job description and you think I'm going
to... That's right. I'm not trying to roll Seek over and get him into the rank. What I'm trying to do is step out with them eventually. And if you went out with them, what's the first thing you'd do if you got onto someone? Mick... Well, I'm sure this happens. Would you offer them a show or a movie or dinner? What was the first thing you'd try and woo them saying to them?
If I met off...
if you were just met anywhere.
Oh, met anywhere. Drink.
A drink?
Yeah.
So just sit down at a table with a drink?
Yes.
And after you've had one or two of those, then what?
Then I'd probably go to sleep. No, No, I would think just let it unfold.
Would you like to come and see a show with me? I've got two tickets to see My Fair Lady or whatever
it is. My Fair Lady?
Bugger them, I know. I've got two tickets to see
and
Les Mis.
Yeah.
Would you like to come? Wouldn't that be better than saying, would you like to have a drink?
Well, I like the drink thing because you can pull the pin on that whenever you need to.
And go the back entrance.
Yeah. And just say, look, I'm going, I'll just follow Lizzie to the toilet, different toilet, and just keep going.
I see. So not even dinner. So bear in mind you've got to eat.
No, I know that. No,
it's transactional these days. Dating is transactional.
Thing? What does that mean?
It's a money thing.
No, transactional. What does that mean?
I don't know. Someone said it to me and I was like...
Well, it's a transaction. It's a transaction.
It's not a commercial transaction.
Well, it sort of is.
Is it?
Yeah, sort of is.
Speaking of the microphone, Lizzie, you're all belching.
I don't know the answer to what I said.
No, well, the transactional means you're transacting with people.
Interacting.
Well, that's the same thing.
No, it's not. Transaction is when you exchange things.
I'm going to kill my boss.
Well, interacting is...
My boss, he said dating is transactional.
Interacting is trans... That is relating to people. What are you talking about?
When's the last time you dated?
Dated?
Yeah.
Long time ago.
I know that. When?
Well, I was trying to... I could have specifically got a date written down.
What, 15 years?
Yes, possibly.
Wow.
20, 15.
Do you miss it?
Not at all. Couldn't be bothered.
Couldn't be bothered.
No, I can't be bothered. But this is a generational thing.
Yeah.
Not Lizzie, a transactional
would,
thing.
Would people of Sam's thing. Vintage, and probably mine, are they on Tinder and stuff?
Oh, I think they are, but they're not
my
in my
word,
age
they are.
Bracket.
No. Yeah, no. Of course they are.
So yours? What's yours limited to?
As in my search criteria?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, for the sake of this conversation, Lizzie, that's why.
I go up to 48.
48.
But I'm getting all the divorcees now, and it's just like, oh, fuck.
Sorry. So are we having any success with this?
Nah.
So how long have you been trawling through the available talent out there online for no success?
20 years. No, a year.
So a year.
No, yeah. There's somewhere in the middle, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, but you take a break after being so disheartened.
See, it's difficult for me to talk because, as you well know, I happen to be her father, but I can't understand why Lizzie and lots of her friends who are attractive women and intelligent, right, my description, seem to struggle to find blokes.
Well, I don't have a lot of friends. B, we don't struggle. It's just... It's a numbers game.
Oh, you're a little selective.
I mean, look, you've got to have a job.
And you can't be called Wayne.
No, or a dwarf.
Exactly. Is that too much to ask?
No, it's not too much to ask. If you're meeting a dwarf who's called Wayne, probably...
In between jobs?
It sounds like I'm knocking small people.
You are.
I'm not... I'm not a tall Mick. It's just.
What about when you played with Tony Polinelli? Did you knock him?
No, he was a man of small stature.
Yeah, he was.
Well, he's not. He wasn't a dwarf.
No, I know that.
You know, it was an attempted humour. And a midget is, don't you?
No. Oh no, I think it is a dwarf in proportion for the entire.
No, a midget is. A midget is a perfectly proportioned small person.
Right.
A dwarf is not.
A dwarf is someone with an upper body normal and short legs.
It's just they're not regularly physically regular people.
Mm.
And they're very nice people. So we worked with a dwarf, a bloke called Arthur, on the footy show. And people said, oh, why are you exploiting Arthur? Arthur was delighted. That's how he made a living out of being a dwarf. And the drop of a hat, we would say, I said, get Arthur. And they say, oh, no, we take too much flack from people. I said, oh, do we? I said, ask Arthur if he minds coming on. Arthur advertised himself as a dwarf and was available for, and we used him a lot.
Don't a lot of people speak for the majority, don't they?
They do, Mick. But this is why we've learnt not to take any notice of them.
You'll be interested in this. Ida Buttrose was on your favourite TV station this morning, the ABC. And one of the questions
to her... She's fantastic, Ida Buttrose.
Yeah, and one of the questions to her was, has political correctness gone mad? To which she said, yes. And she said, what we miss now is the larrikins that we had when she was working for Consolidated Press and Packer and saw the emergence of Paul Hogan and those sort of people.
That's right.
Yeah.
Didn't she have a Brussels sprout thrown at her and left a TV show?
Does that ring a bell?
Denise Drysdale? Didn't Denise Drysdale throw a Brussels sprout at her on Studio 10 and...
Does that ring a bell, Johnny?
It doesn't ring a bell with me.
It did happen.
Okay.
Might not ring your bell, but it did happen.
What rings your bell?
What rings my bell? Yeah.
What would excite you most? And I'm not... This is a serious question. Lizzie's got some questions that she'll furnish us with. Excuse the expression, but what turns you on? What excites you about life these days?
Very good. That's a very appropriate time to play that. What excites me about life just depends on what you're talking about.
No, but if you could wake up and have one wish on a particular day, what would it be?
To surround myself with people who aren't absolute fuckwits.
Okay.
Seriously.
No, I take it seriously.
I have political views. Yeah. I have views on climate. I have views on gender. I have views on a lot of things that people will find politically incorrect, but I would have no problem at all meeting with and enjoying the company of either a man or a woman who had completely different views to me, but didn't browbeat me about why I'm an old age dinosaur with those views, because my views would probably be reflective of the very great majority of the planet, if not the country, and to have a sensible dialogue with someone who doesn't browbeat you and put you into a okay. pigeonhole because you have views, and what moreover doesn't ostracize you from trying to get employment or having a sponsor. I'll give you a classic example. There's a man, a Michelin hat man, who was a restaurateur, no N in restaurateur.
Thank you.
Well, you might have...
Thank you, Mr. Chips.
You looked at me as though I'd pronounced it incorrectly.
I look at you like that all the time.
This restaurateur had a Michelin, 1.5 Michelin hats, and a critic came round and said his souffle was too yellow because he thought he used the wrong cheese. And the bloke said, I didn't use the wrong cheese, I used cheddar or something. And they took a hat off him, and his business is now in deterioration because to have 1.5 Michelin hats from all the wankers that want to eat great food and have it prepared properly and look aesthetically pleasing, his business dropped right off because of one critic.
So,
who might have had it in for him in the first place.
So if you wanted to go out for dinner,
yes,
would you do a Michelin search?
Not at all.
Search? No.
That is posturing.
Yeah.
Take someone to your favourite restaurant, maybe inquire as to the person you've taken to dinner what cuisine they liked, and then pick the appropriate restaurant. But that is nonsense, going to a Michelin hat restaurant with food that you can hardly see and paying the national debt for
So can I go back to the original question?
Yes.
So if I'm presuming 5 minutes ago,
yep.
you'd like to go out on the boat on presumably a sunny day on your boat with what, how many people?
Never forget this, Mick. It's not where you go in life, it's who you go
Correct.
With.
Correct, I agree totally. So how many people would you assemble?
Numbers mean nothing, but if I had a cross-section of people I enjoyed their company with, it wouldn't matter if it was 10 or 50.
Okay.
I could put 50 people on my boat.
Because you are a good host, despite... you probably won't even like hearing that, but you are.
I'm a very good host, yes. Mick. I'll tell you why. Because I don't think what I think amuses me or enjoys me. I think about what the greater people on the boat or at a function or a party would like.
Yeah.
And one of them is good service, good food, good wine, good music, without just asking people to come in and sit around and chat to one another. Have things that interest them.
You would have been when you came to my place for a barbecue and wouldn't let me out on the balcony. You ordered me to give you some utensils.
That's right.
And said, now go away.
Okay, so if the very essence of having a barbecue, I presume, is to cook meat that people enjoy or cook food that people enjoy. Most people have no idea how to cook a barbecue because they're preoccupied by chatting to their guests, drinking, having a fag, doing things. You've got to actually study and concentrate on cooking a barbecue so that when you serve the fare to people, they say, my word, this is very nicely cooked. So I always take over the barbecuing duties at any function I go to because I'm an expert at it.
You can concentrate on that because you don't drink anymore, do you?
And I don't want to talk to many people.
No, true. That's your perfect Barbie, isn't it?
That is my perfect Barbie, not speaking to dills. Well, do you like to speak to dills?
Well,
people who are just not on the same educational plane as you.
Which sounds like you, Lizzie.
Which sounds doesn't like mean you. To say they're any duller.
Intellectual snob.
I'm not an intellectual snob.
Well, not intellectually smarter then, but just have a different, just have a, they're just not
beginning
as worldly.
Meaningful dialogue,
not as worldly.
Yeah, okay.
No, I'm happy to say that.
Can you
and that's probably why a hell of a lot of people don't want to speak to me, because they think I'm a snob.
Yeah. Can you ask a question?
On your favourite show. Now, this staggers me. See, this
what is my favourite show?
Well, the Q&A or...
It's not my favourite show.
Well, the ABC on your...
It's my favourite TV channel, yes. Well,
that's fine. I'm happy with the ABC too. I don't watch a hell
of a
lot
of it. You never watch it.
I said I don't watch a hell of a lot of it. This is how they put people into pigeonholes. I know this because I'm put into one and you're probably put into one. The name Pauline Hanson came up and they ripped that woman.
They being?
The panel and the...
On
the
Q&A.
Not on Q&A, the commentators on a discussion-based platform about politics. They discussed, and it got to do with climate change, and it got to do with immigration, and then it got to do with... And they said, oh, this ex-fish and chip shop owner, Pauline Hanson, said this and that, and they criticised her for the way she speaks and looks and all that. I have got Pauline Hanson's platform on the Australia First Party, or it's One Australia, whatever it's called, One Nation, about what her views on politics are. I will tell you, Mick, when someone mentions the name Pauline Hanson to you, do you think, oh, my God, do you? You're not a great fan of it? I would reckon you would agree with almost every policy, major policy, that she has on the world that we live in.
You know I'm not a political animal, though. It doesn't interest
From
me
From climate change to energy to asylum seekers to immigration to travel bans to baby formula to identity cards to the environment to tax reform to drug reform to privatisation, to mining, to superannuation and Aussie ownership. I would say 99% of the things that she has as a platform you would agree with, and yet she gets roundly condemned for being sort of out there as some sort of shrieking, mad, fish and chip shop owner, hysterical woman.
Yeah.
And she's actually more sensible than most of the people, or her policies are more sensible than most of the people you would speak to.
Yeah, well, I don't rate any of the political parties highly, so it's wasted on me. And what about AFLW, Sammy, just so that we don't have a session without AFL in it?
Yeah, that's an interesting thing. You know it's AFWL.
No, it's not. It's AFLW.
AFW.
It's AFLW.
AFLW. It was originally going to be AWFL, and people said, oh, that's an acronym for awful. So they changed
it. Is that true?
That is true. Obviously, you think about the Australian Women's Football League.
Okay.
And they said, oh, no, let's not call it that, because people might say it's awful.
It is awful now, because they don't even know when they're playing, the length of the season, the composition of the program.
I hesitate to say this, Mick, and Lizzie, please, if you have a comment on this, seeing as you are a woman, I hesitate to say this, but it started off with a flurry because they thought it was a great thing to do. It was showing a diversity and inclusivity, and the women should be just as important in this game as ours. And it started off in the first year with the groundswell of support, and now it has just drifted away into being another token game.
No, I don't agree with that.
Hang on a minute. Another token. Well, hang on, Mick. Not token women, a token game, because you've just said that they haven't even got a season, they haven't got a format, they haven't got a program, they haven't got an agenda.
That's because the AFL, no W's, the AFL still pays lip service to it.
Well, I just said that.
Yeah, but that's,
I
but
said
it's not
token.
A only by the people who are in charge of it. I mean, the movement is healthy. Women want to play football. People want to go and watch women play football.
I did not criticise the women who wanted to play or their ability or talent. I said it started off with a flurry, and now it has just become a token example of another league being played with no direction. You've just said it's got no direction.
No, from the top.
And into the bar. Well, it doesn't matter where it's from.
Well, it does really, because it's in a mess. In free fall, because the AFL won't take the hard decisions.
Okay, so what's its future? So the ladies,
women,
the ladies, women, the people who play the game, want extra money, want a pay increase. They want not parity with the men, of course, but they want it to be they want to be paid more.
They want to know when they're playing, Sammy.
And they want to play.
That's a reasonable expectation, isn't it?
So it has become. I'm going to say this again. You shouted at me.
I didn't shout at you.
Well, you.
I was animated.
In your inner shouting, you were. I said it's become a token game, riding on the wave of inclusivity and giving everyone a platform to be on.
The concept is healthy. It's badly directed. The AFL
concept's healthy, of course. Two teams playing football, AFL football against one another. Yes,
the women. AFL want to dodge. They brought in that ridiculous AFLX last year in opposition to it. They now want to dodge the tennis. Why would you want to dodge the tennis if you've got a different sport? Okay. Then they don't want to go head to head with the men, so they can't find a place to put it.
So here's the hypocrisy of the AFL, if you like, that they're into inclusivity and telling us how to live our lives and what agendas to follow and what direction in life to follow, and they put all these political statements up, and yet they are giving no help to women.
Correct.
To women who they would say they are inclusivity is their main platform of anything that the AFL do, and they're completely ignoring
it. We are as one on that. Now, I've got a question.
Well, so where's it headed?
Well,
will it peter out?
No, it won't peter out.
Well, why?
But it is desperately crying out for Gillon McLachlan to come out and say, this is important to us, this is how it's going to unfold for the next 3 years.
Why hasn't he?
Well, because Gillon doesn't like making hard decisions. This is difficult. There's difficulties with this.
Why, if you think that the women have a place in AFL sport, why is it a hard decision to make? Find the program and the
time frame
that they can have a 6 or 8 week season and be done with it.
Women are going to have to go interstate to play footy. Yeah, how can you send
people? Does anyone care?
They want a 13-week
season. They want a 13-week season. The AFL says, no, it's too long. And the telecasters won't put on every game.
And why won't they?
Because at the moment, it doesn't appeal sufficiently.
It doesn't
But it's 3 years old.
It doesn't rate, Mick.
You know, the other thing, the critical issue for me here is if you go anywhere in this country, there's an upsurge in the interest of females in football.
I tell you what is disappointing.
Did you hear that?
Of course, Mick. I tell you what is disappointing. I'm sitting here with three people, and on your extreme right, there's a man who single-handedly masterminded the invention and the start of Fox Football.
He is. Rod Laws here.
Fox Football. Yeah. And I would be delighted to ask him, or even if he could whisper to you and you could pass on his comment, if he had a chat, why would he not put women's football on Fox Football and show a whole 13-week season? I've got a feeling because he would think, I don't know what he would think, but he's the man to ask.
Well, he won't move.
I know. I don't know why he won't move.
Get off your bottom. You have nothing to say. Thanks. Thanks for your contribution.
Oh, I can understand why you'd be reticent to
Johnny,
say that.
One of Lizzie's questions that took my fancy.
Yes?
If you were arrested with no explanation, what would your friends and family assume you had done? Now, just to give you a hint, Lizzie said the answer for her would be either murder or stalking. and I agree with those. I didn't like the fact she said mine was drink driving or riding without a helmet. I don't drink drive. For the record, I don't drink drive.
No, I can understand you saying that.
I get on my bike and fall off, but...
Like Len Thompson when he was pulled up in Toorak Road riding home from the hotel.
Yeah.
And the police pulled him up on his bike, not a motorbike, a push bike. And they said to Len, have you had a drink? And he said, I've had 1,000 fucking drinks. And they took his car licence off him. And
because a bike's a vehicle.
It is. Yeah. And you can do a lot of damage
with
a bike.
Doesn't have to be motorised.
No, it's just got to have wheels, doesn't it?
Yes.
And be on a public thoroughfare.
Exactly.
Yeah. Give us your answer, please, John.
I don't know, probably.
Now, what do you reckon your sisters that... who live in dread about what you're going to do the next day, what do you think they would think?
Been arrested.
Yeah. No explanation. Just the news flash. Mm. John Sammy Newman has been arrested. What would they think you'd done?
Assaulting someone, I don't know. Probably.
I would think that.
Well,
Road rage.
Yeah, that's right.
Road rage.
Yeah. There's a fine line, there is a hell of a fine line between putting up with absolute assholes on the road and confronting them to ask them why they are assholes.
Yeah.
There is a hell of a fine line.
You wouldn't want to do it, though.
And if you have a look at the traffic that is engulfing this city, this state, it's a wonder there is not more road rage. I'm not advocating it, of course, but the traffic is in crisis state here in this.
I agree with this town. All that.
And you wait till the climate, the people, the rebellion, extinction. What's the climate extinction called? What's that title?
Extinction Rebellion.
Extinction Rebellion. You wait to Extinction Rebellion. Those anarchists that clog up the streets in the CBD and won't let the traffic move because they have some jaundiced view about how they'll save the planet.
Okay.
Could anyone tell us how they'd save the planet?
No. If you could shop for free at one store on the planet, which one would you choose?
The Lamborghini shop.
Yeah, okay. Do you think that was going to shock me?
Well,
Lizzie, I don't like where you're going with this. Yours is Dan Murphy's.
And they have cigarettes.
Oh, that's right. So you're perfect. You meet all your requirements there. Yeah.
We asked for people, I did, to tweet in some have questions. They? Well, they have. A lot of them, a number of them about they like... incidentally, we're missing Don. They like Don's views on things because they say he's so left field that he's entertaining.
Yeah.
Johnny V8 asked about trade days. We've already done trade days. We're thinking about that. Now, while we were on the NFL, someone called...
NFL?
NRL.
NRL.
Someone was called Andrew Proctor, whatever, said, is it time for the AFL to have a night grand final in view of the huge success? Is that an old chestnut that we don't want to delve into?
Well, in fact, the huge success, there were more people at the AFL grand final than the NRL grand final.
But there always is.
Well, there were.
Well, there always is, Mick. The NFL grand final has never had more people go to it than an AFL grand final.
Is that because the grand... capacity is
probably
so. It was the NRL Chockers,
yes,
was it?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, I'm 82, I think.
82, yeah.
I would leave it where it is in AFL terms.
So because
just because it's a tradition, we dismantle tradition after tradition. Why change something that there's nothing wrong with a 2:30 grand final, is there?
No, but there is a resounding success for a night grand final, isn't there?
Resounding success?
Yes, it's been a resounding success.
In the NRL?
Yes.
I'll tell you what, if we put it to a night grand final here and it was a day like today, pissing down with rain and 11 degrees.
Persistently raining, Mick, I think you meant to say. Yeah.
I would think most people sort of say, why did we change this?
And I'm with you, Mick. I was only trying to just edge you in. If we change the grand final, the daytime is the best time to play. Yeah. The kids can go. You can get lick it up. Shick it up.
Yeah.
Imagine if they didn't have it till 8 o'clock. Oh. People would be vomiting. They'd be absolutely fly blown by the time the game started.
Exactly.
They'd be rocking home at 3 in the morning, getting knocked over by people with flick knives and baseball bats.
And there's one other silly consideration, John. The skills are going to be better in the daytime than they are at night.
Yes, well, we'll.
Why would we care about
that on advisement after the last grand final we saw?
Yeah,
but
true.
So we've had a lot of people tweet in and say Adam C. and Lord Whiting and a whole lot of others have said, "What are we going to do about the climate change protesters?" Because it is, you wait, Mick, it's going to envelop on a daily, on a weekly basis. It's going to envelop this city for no reason. Yeah.
Well, let me ask you one more question from your sheet, Lizzie. If you by chance happen to confront Greta
Thunberg, Thunder Thighs,
at an airport.
Thunberg.
Greta Thunberg at an airport somewhere. What would you say anything to her?
What I say?
Yeah.
Well, just theoretically, if I did say something to her, I'd say, gee, it's nice to see your parents have let you out of the house. You should be home in your room studying. That's for a start.
Didn't I tell you he'd say that?
Yeah,
exactly that.
That's for a start. And secondly, tell me, Greta, before you actually bring the world to its knees, tell me some realistic suggestion you have to stop the world rotating around if you don't use fossil fuels, or how will that change the climate?
Okay, but there's one thing. You can't bring the world to its knees if the world doesn't want to be brought to its knees. So there's a fertile field for her. People want action on climate change. Your point is, what's the action?
I want action on climate change. Is there a subtle difference between global warming and climate change? Well, there is a subtle difference.
Yeah.
But tell me, economically speaking, how do you stop the world from doing what it's doing if you have no alternative form of the planet existing operating?
Don't they say renewable energy?
Yes. What is that?
Isn't it wind and stuff
like
that?
Of course. Of course. Now, unless you put a million windmills, a million power...
Solar panels?
No,
wind farms.
Thank you, Lizzie. Right. Unless you put a million wind farms up and completely blot out the sun with all these spinning rotors in the air trying to generate enough power to make steel and cars and refrigerators and railway lines and air conditioners and bulldozers and ships.
Right, okay,
unless you have an... You cannot generate that technology we have with solar and wind.
So solar doesn't generate enough power?
Of course. How much does solar generate?
Don't know.
Dad, what about our pool?
Yeah, true. That's a good point. We've got solar panels on a house at Sereno, it doesn't heat the pool.
Wind farms kill birds.
So on your favourite show, Mick, on Q&A.
It's not my favourite show.
Well, it's my favourite show.
It is not. You've never watched it.
Well, I watched it when you told me that there was a man on there, a professor from England.
Yes.
Remember that?
Yes, I do.
I can't think of his name.
Yeah.
But he said what we should do in Australia... this is why you can't take people seriously. He said we should... In the middle of Australia, hundreds and hundreds of square miles, we should cover it with solar panels, put a subterranean pipeline under the ocean to China and sell solar-generated power to China. Now, fair dinkum.
Yeah. I don't think the feasibility study
there's
would...
There's 1.5 billion people in China. How much sun can you generate?
How can you build a pipe from here to China? Can you do that?
Well, you put it under the sea. There's cables all under the oceans, all
it's
over 10, the oceans.
10,000 miles, isn't it?
Well, they put 10,000 miles of cables under the sea everywhere.
Okay, right. What else do you want to talk about?
That's how the fibre optics work on telephone lines.
Okay. What else do you want to talk about?
Well, what's up there?
Where?
Well...
We've done that. Extinction Rebellion, we've done that.
So Baker's Delight...
Yeah.
Loved great organisation. Tony Jewell was a Baker's Delight.
He was.
He used to get
up. No, he was a Brumbies man, wasn't he?
Was he? He
used to get up at 3 in the morning. Yeah.
He nearly killed him. He went from being a hardware salesman to...
Until the bloke next door put a party on and nearly killed him.
Anyhow, they've got exemption now. They can sell all their product, bread and dough and buns and cakes. They have an exemption from plastic bags. They reckon they put out about 1 million of them a year. So this is like being a little bit pregnant. All these things are great unless it's pragmatically approved that you can use plastic bags until something better comes up. And why would we... This is my point about silly Greta and all these people protesting. You've got China and India. They say India's going to have more population than China soon. You've got India, China, Russia and the Middle East who give not one continental about global emissions, bags, plastics, anything.
True.
We are asked not to eat meat because the cows fart, and we're asked not to use plastic straws when you go into McDonald's to buy a thick shake, use a tin straw.
Maybe if we're better educated, we should show the lead.
To whom?
Or to the world.
Oh, yes.
It doesn't make a difference.
Oh, tell the Indians and the Chinese, instruct them how to live their life. Lots of luck with that.
We've got the
Box Hill City Council flying a Chinese flag over their municipal offices because of the protests going on in Hong Kong.
No, I hate to admit this, but I agree with Andrew Bolt yesterday. What was the nonsense of flying a Chinese flag?
But who wouldn't agree with that? No, no. But
well, the people who led the flag to go up. But you agree.
But this is virtue signaling.
Yes.
Agenda seekers. You bring politics almost into everything. Andrew Bolt is a very sensible person who has a different view about a lot of things that tick
to most
you
people.
Off. That tick you off.
Yeah.
And he is quite sensible about what he says, except if you are on the wrong political side of what he says, you automatically, it's like Pauline Hanson, you automatically poo-hoo him or traduce him.
I tell you what hurt him, though. When he was linked inextricably with George Pell and he just refused to back away.
That is not right, Mick.
It's not right.
In my humble opinion, he said... And you have agreed with this. Look, you are extraordinary.
Thank you. You
are extraordinary. He said, on the specific charge George Pell faced, it would be very doubtful that you could, on the evidence or basis of being found guilty beyond a reasonable doubt on that charge that he was...
I did agree with that.
Well, that's what he said, and he stuck up for the fact that not Pell and abuse. Do you know, have a listen to this. The 1,700 clergy in America still practicing and still in the brotherhood after they've been found guilty of sexual abuse, and there's one man, one clergyman, one person who put a 14-year-old girl made her pregnant and is still in the church as a counsellor and an advocate for sexual harassment.
No,
now, you think we're making that up?
No.
They're worse than ISIS.
Yeah.
The Catholic Church is almost as bad as ISIS.
It's a big call.
Well, ISIS, what ISIS do is cut your head off if you don't adopt their religion. You know, that's the extremist jihadist. The Catholic Church don't protect women; they just touch them up.
Okay, can I lighten it up just a fraction?
Or boys. Or boys.
Which of your personality traits is it? Traits or trays?
Traits. You're Australian, not French.
No, that's a good point. I think traits. I would say traits, but I've heard it called trays.
Which of your personality traits has been the most useful in your 80 years on the planet?
Confidence.
Do you mean that?
Well, you've got to be confident in...
But I saw you at... where is Don Scott anyway? I saw you at his roast...
But Don's ill. I mean, he's ill. We haven't given him the flick because he's an integral part of the show, Don.
When you did the roast for him recently...
Yes.
I was one of many who thought that you were very nervous before you got up and spoke. Were you?
No, I wasn't nervous.
You weren't?
Not ever nervous when I get
up. You never get
up,
never nervous when you perform.
No, I just don't like to sit and chat about...
inanities.
That's right. Just like to, if I'm asked to speak, I like to concentrate on I'd rather not sit with people. I'd rather just be introduced and walk on from the back of the stage and do it.
And then go home.
So you say confidence. So you've got to be confident to stand up and do that.
Well, it helps, but I don't think everyone's got it.
But you make yourself have it, don't you?
Can you make yourself confident?
Well, if you think you know what you're talking about or you know what you're going to say, you might know what you're talking about. But if you know what you're going to say or I think if you were playing football, you've got to be confident that you've got at least some ability to compete on an equal footing with the person you're playing against.
Well, Nick Riewoldt used to spew before every game. He was so anxious.
Fake it till you make it.
Yeah, well, what's that, Lizzie?
Fake it till you make it.
That could be a very good thing to have in a relationship. Faking the fact that you enjoy someone or that you're about to have a sexual experience that might blow your mind off, but you're faking it and no one knows. You can't fake it if you're a bloke, mind you.
You
can't unless... So that question... Oh, yeah. So there's a... There's a subtle difference or a tremendous difference between enthusiasm and excitement.
Yeah.
Enthusiasm is sincere, grand, impressive and resistless. It wells up from the secret depths of your being and is self-controlled. Excitement, on the other hand, is shallow,
lacking in depth.
Why?
Short-lived and often hysterical. Excitement soon repels, but enthusiasm garners those and it permeates to all those with whom it comes into contact.
So you're cynical about excitement, are you?
Yes. Absolutely. Really? Absolutely. Excitement. Running around like a dog chasing a frisbee. That's excitement. That's what the AFL umpires do. They get excited to be part of it instead of just being enthusiastic that they've got this under control.
Okay. I've got to go and sign up for Tinder.
You will not.
Now Emma Waters.
Walters.
Walters, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, Emma. I'm not.
You don't need to be sorry,
not
to Emma.
Singling Emma out.
I'm
singling her out only because she blew 0.282. It's not any point of saying who she's the wife of because it's not his problem.
You don't think that helped her?
John Setka's wife.
Setka, isn't it?
Setka is, I think,
the CF, MEU. You know, LBQ, all that stuff.
LGBT. She blew 0.282. I've lost my license. I blew 0.18 and lost it for 18 months.
Really?
Yes, this is 20 years ago.
She lost her license. Mm-hmm. She wasn't convicted.
That's right.
That's the distinction.
She recorded no conviction, which is very, very important because that means you can't go overseas or get a visa.
Or a job.
All that.
Yeah.
And it was her second time and she was not only speeding but also over the alcoholic limit by 5.
With children in the car.
So, she was probably lucky, but... But the judge said that it's not an unusual verdict to hand down.
Sammy.
Well, I'm only just...
Let me give you the hypothetical that Jacinda Clayton is picked up by the police in all the same circumstances. Blows 0.282... is speeding and has children in the car.
Mm-hmm.
What are her chances of...
not being convicted.
And second time.
Oh, was it?
So what do you think? How would she go?
Besides suffering the suspension and fines, she wasn't even fined, Emma. Wasn't fined.
So community corrections order.
That's right. They said that cancels out a... monetary fine.
Jeez. No wonder there's no faith in the legal system.
She had experienced matrimonial difficulty.
Yeah, so does 78% of the world.
Christ, I've experienced that for the better part of my adult life. And now, so there we go. So now you say, quite rightly, I agree with you, no wonder people haven't got any faith in the judicial system. So here, I'm going to bring this up again. Here are gangs of youths. I'm not saying that they're African or white or Caucasian, which is one and the same thing. Gangs of youths bashing people in the Malmesbury detention centre, and so much so that they go... At some stage, the authorities have got to get... really tough with those people rather than just letting them off all the time. Seriously, or it just goes on and on, you'll have anarchy.
But it's a bit like climate change, Sammy. We know the problem. What's the solution?
No.
You just throw everyone inside, do you?
There is a solution with gangs of people that go to
detention.
Well,
you wanted them shot the last time we talked to.
I want them shot?
Yeah.
No, I didn't want them
you
shot.
You sure?
Well, with a gun. You might shoot them with a camera so that we've got them depicted on celluloid there. I didn't say shoot them with a gun, did I? I hope I didn't. That's nonsense, Mick. There is a definite thing you can do about gangs of youths who bash people at detention centres. You lock them down, you take their privileges away, and you're tough on them. And you don't let them out for any longer than a designated period. You don't give them bats to play with. You don't give them anything that they can file down and make a knife out of, which is what the broom handle was transformed into that... one man to task there and put him in jail, in hospital, you become really strict with penal sanction. That's what you do. Climate change is a nebulous thing that you actually can't really handle. You can't address without being ridiculous.
You've been very good this morning.
No, I haven't.
Yes, you have.
So is that it?
I think so.
What's up on the board there?
I think we're done there.
I told you about the Americans banning urinals, didn't I?
You did. We talked about that last week.
Well, if you want a better example of someone who says, Ida Buttrose, who says political correctness and stupidity have taken over this country, cite no other reason than urinals, that men shouldn't be allowed to stand at a wall and piss onto a piece of aluminium because women can't do it, so we must be fair. We must all urinate into a pan.
I love this expression. That is just arrant nonsense.
Arrant nonsense. Well, look, any other final announcements?
No. I'm just going home to actually perhaps die or maybe sleep for a couple of days.
Well, never forget this. Dyslexics have more nuff than most people.
Are you going to thank Lizzie?
No. Well, I'm thanking you and I'm thanking Lizzie. Well done, Lizzie. Why don't you go over the managed 75 one day until it's out in the night.
I'm worried because you ain't treating me right. Come back again.
Anyway, we just talk over the music. That'd be good. Daddy Cool. And all the best, Don.